Welcome to the Apartment Rockstar Podcast. Today, Robert is a guest on Let's Grab a Coffee with host George Khalif to talk about how Robert got into the multifamily industry and what he does different from everyone else to be successful.
Robert, what's going on? Thanks again for doing this, man.
Hey, George, thank you. Great to have you. Great to have me. Thank you.
So, you know, one thing I did want to touch on is you founded Rockstar Capital, I think in 2011. And since then, obviously, you're managing a host of apartment communities within this, a lot of rental units. You're really in that multi-unit complex ecosystem or space. What really got you into this, and then how did this whole thing come about?
You know, the inefficiency and the inequality of corporate America is what got me here. Like a lot of your listeners, I went to school and I got good grades. My parents came from blue-collar, middle-class income families. Education was very important. They made sure we were prepared and we were going to follow that track towards the American dream. And so I went to Texas A&M. I got an engineering degree. I was more on the sales side though, right? A lot of my classes involved marketing, business. It wasn't strictly engineering. And that was also reflective of my GPA. I wasn't a 3.8 or 4.0 guy. I was one of the guys that probably had something closer to a low three. And so when it came the time to graduate, I wasn't going to be working in some think tank. I wasn't going to be working in a cubicle, trying to figure this out or figure that out, or try to make sure this process was improved. I was going to go out there and I was going to sell, large pieces of equipment. So when I got out of Texas A&M in 97, I moved to Houston, and I got involved in the oil and gas sector. I worked for different manufacturers, selling large pieces of equipment to people with PhDs, and basically going through the whole life cycle cost benefit analysis. You explain to them our unique value proposition and why they should buy our product over somebody else's product. And I got really good at it. It takes a bit of a personality to be able to speak the language from your manufacturer to the end user customer. And I did that for a number of years, the better part of 10 years. And I realized that after a while, I should have been making up here, but I was making here every year. And it's because my employer made sure that I made here. Even though I would outperform, I would hit whatever sales quotas and targets there were, I wasn't seeing the full benefit. I wasn't getting the residual income of the seeds that I planted 2 or 3 years ago. My employer would like to play games and essentially give some of my territory over to somebody else, which I get it. You know, they're trying to help somebody stay alive and they're trying to get their better performers like me and give them struggling areas and try to grow that. But that doesn't motivate you if you're a good sales guy, right? Like, I mean, I come from a world where I have to kill what I'm going to eat at night. And I want to make sure that I get rewarded, that when I kill something, I bring it home to my family. I don't have to share it with 3 or 4 other families. And so that really took a lot of the motivation out for me. And I wanted to go out there and see, well, what else is there? What else could I find out there that could capitalize on my own ability, my own success, and my own need to want to feed my family? I stumbled into real estate. Like a lot of sales guys, I'm in the car a lot and I listen to business radio and I listen to all the old shows back in the day, you know, Dave Ramsey, Susie Orman, Ray Lucia. And then I listened to a real estate club here in Houston, Texas. And I was like, wow, this is something. This isn't that different. This isn't what I'm used to. I don't know anybody that owns real estate. Maybe I could try this. And I stumbled upon that. I went to an educational class. And I learned everything I wanted to know about single family houses, thinking, hey, I'm going to buy 3 or 4 rent houses and that's going to solve my income problem. And then I went to Sunday, which is all about multifamily. It's like, no, I don't want to do multifamily, but I'll go to it anyway. And I was just like, it's like the light came on. Like it's that whole Matrix moment with Morpheus and Neo, right? Red pill, blue pill. And once I learned about real estate, learned about multifamily real estate, I was hooked. I didn't realize how much value you could create in multifamily real estate that could later turn into real net worth for you and your family. And so it was a no-brainer for me. I ran into that. And since 2007, I've now owned and operated 5,000 units. I've led the performance and the operations that have resulted in 15, 100% cash out refinance events for our investors. My company, Rockstar Capital Management, has earned 17 city, state, national apartment association awards. And I'm the country's only 2-time national owner of the year.
Gotcha. And so basically for people listening, it's if someone would invest in Rockstar Cap, then they would get access to that whole real estate portfolio or plan that you are and your team are behind. Why is that, like, if you look at the kind of the multifamily unit complex, why is that so maybe more uncommon for people to know about? Because when you think of real estate, right, you either think of a single unit, right, like a single house as your first purchase. Typically, you don't think of investing other than maybe a condo. I think for the most part, that's kind of the common territory. Why was this so uncommon for a lot of people to know about?
I think because we're conditioned to not think that way. You know, First, you only hear horror stories when you hear about real estate. Oh, you don't want to be a landlord. They're going to move in. They're going to ruin your investment. And you're going to spend a bunch of money to get it ready again. And then if you move somebody else in and they don't pay the rent, now you got to pay the mortgage. You lost all your profit. And it's because they're doing it wrong. The reason why people don't invest in apartment complexes is because they're not shown to. In the past, apartment complexes was for the rich, right? And the rich show their children. Right? Donald Trump, right? He's a great president. And he showed his kids about real estate and they're in real estate. Well, how did Donald learn that? He learned that from his father, right? So unless something happens, that something gets in the circle of your life and they don't introduce real estate to you, they don't introduce multifamily real estate, you don't get involved. I didn't learn everything I'm doing today. None of it I learned in college. Hmm. None of it. This was all post-college for me. This was all because I chose to invest in myself through more education in the real world. And that turned into a great life for me. That turned into a monumental net worth builder. Since joining real estate in 2008, my net worth has probably jumped 40 times, 50 times. I mean, it's a fantastic, magical way to change your life. In fact, it's interesting. One of my investors, he put $100,000 in one of our deals back in 2010. And he was a casualty of the Great Recession. He took a monster hit, just like my parents did. And he literally had his last $100,000. He's like, you know what? I got to do something different. I can't put in the stock market again. I'll give it to this young kid. At the time, I was in my early 30s. He goes, I'll give it to this young kid, and I'll put into this deal. Here we are from 2010 to 2020. He now owns 13 apartment complexes, all based from the initial $100,000 investment back in 2010. That $100,000 investment is worth $1.7 million today. And it's because he chose to make a decision way back when to put his money in real estate. He didn't know anything about real estate. He just happened to meet somebody that had just got educated and put himself through the cycle. So that's how people get exposed to multifamily real estate.
The thing with real estate, and I think you pointed out this already, is a lot of it you don't learn in university. A lot of it you kind of self-learn, right? But that can be a weird path as well if you get caught with the wrong people, with the wrong content. So how did you go about finding credible sources to learn from?
Well, it was really good. The educational club that I was in, right? You know, they had a lot of videos. They had a lot of networking. I think their strength was the network that was there. I wasn't the only person joining that day. I was like one of 100 people that joined that weekend. And then I got into a network, and there's thousands of people in this network. And besides the videos and the live seminars you can go to, they had bus road trips. You could also get on a bus and visit other properties that are owned by members of the club. And with that, you share knowledge, you share experiences, right? And so you somebody else's mistakes, they show you what not to do, just like I've shown them what not to do. And so you kind of go through the path of your real estate career, making less mistakes, having less pitfalls along the way.
Gotcha. And I remember from a video, because I know you talked to Grant, I know you talked to Gary V, and in that video with Gary, you're basically talking about how you know, if you look at kind of the game in terms of digital, right, like leveraging social media channels, a lot of people are using the, you know, the private jets, the luxury behind it, and the whole flash behind it as well. And Gary's kind of advice was be more raw, right? Like be real with what's actually going on. How have you approached the digital side of things in terms of getting both the fun, the firm, and what you're doing out there to people?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, right? I love both those guys, Gary and Grant, and I identify with each of them. I learned how to storytell through Gary, and I learned to understand that you needed to have an online presence. And with Grant, I learned, hey man, it's out there. Go get it. 10x your effort, right? But I don't need a Lambo. I don't need a jet to tell you that we have real success. All I need to do is show you the awards on the wall that show you the country's only two-time national of the year. I need the country's national property of the year. Property manager of the year, and all the 17 other awards that we've won. Those are real performances for me, right? So when I visited Gary back in the day, he helped me realize that I had a weakness. And that weakness is the same weakness that Blockbuster had with Netflix. You know the whole Blockbuster Netflix story, right? How Netflix was in that boardroom at the Blockbuster offices, wherever, I think it was in Chicago, or I forgot where it was. Mm-hmm. And they said, hey, the world is going digital. people don't want to come to your stores anymore. They're going to want to just push a button, or they're going to want to, they're going to want to have a disc and just, you know, throw it in the mail and have it come back to them. And they're like, no, people want to come to our stores. They want to come to our brick and mortar stores, and they want to pay rewind fees and late charges, and they want to buy a box of chocolates and a popcorn.
Have just a small understanding of the market.
And that died. Blockbuster died, just like Sears died because of Amazon. So Gary showed me that we had a hole in our business. And the hole was, what happens when you're not there? See, the business is 24/7. The business is alive, and it's going to be alive. But what's going on when you're not there? Well, I learned that I needed to be present all the time, no matter what was happening. So first thing we did was we had a 24/7 call center to make sure none of our properties ever missed a call. And that was in the morning, day, and night. So if a manager is sitting there with somebody, they don't have to rush that call. They know the call center has a trained leasing professional is going to take that call or take that maintenance request and give whoever's on the phone the attention that they deserve. Then I realized, wow, we don't have stories. How are we going to tell stories, right? So we hired our first videographer. And we started videoing all of our stories of the property. This is what our amenity looks like. This is what our apartments look like. This is what the pool looks like. Then I realized, wow, we need to have a brand. We need to have a reputation. And that came a little bit from Gary and from Grant, right? Because if you're not promoting it, you're demoting it. Well, we have all these big awards. We have all these success stories, but you don't know about it unless I tell you, right? So if you're not promoting it, you're demoting it, right? Mm-hmm. And so that was a Grantism. Right. So we decided that we were going to own reputation management. And we went to all the review sites and we read them, and they're really hard to read. Right. They're really difficult when you see somebody complaining. It really, you have to have thick skin. But then you start to realize, where are all the success stories? Where's the story about the guy that moved in with his family and this is their first apartment? Why hasn't that been told? Aren't they happy when they move in? Where's the story about the resident's been there for 3 years and she loves the brand new air conditioning that your company put in there last year for her? That was the reason why she renewed. Where is that story? So we started to realize, you know, we're going to drown out the hate, we're going to drown out the noise, and we're going to flood it with stories of positivity when they move in and when they're renewing. And you put all that together, and then you create a world where maybe they don't come to the office anymore. A world where they just lease online. Back in the day, people would have an apartment guidebook and they'd show up on a Saturday morning and they would go to 10 apartment complexes. Mm-hmm. That doesn't happen anymore. People go to your apartment complex online throughout the week and they see, what do they read? They look at the stories, the videos, and the reviews. When's the last time you went to Best Buy and you didn't know what camera to buy? You didn't know what headphone to buy? You didn't know what TV to buy? You asked them, hey, which one do I buy? Well, everybody's buying this one. Well, isn't that like a review? When you see floods and floods of reviews, you're like, hey, this is a good place. So that come Saturday, they don't have an apartment guidebook. They have a small notepad of like two or three properties they're going to go to, and they're going to go to the one they like the most first. And if that one lives up to what they saw online, they're going to lease there. And that's what we did. We made sure that we had virtual tours. Right now, you have this C-19 effect. It's not really affecting us. We're continuing to lease apartments. We're continuing to go and do this, you know, virtually. We did 90 some leases in the last 2.5 weeks throughout the portfolio. I got about just under 4,000 units, and none of them were face to face. Everything was done online. Everything was done through e-signature, rental verification, employment verification. Everything was done using our software. And they would look at the videos, they like it, they would click submit, they would start the application process, and they're off to the races. Within 48 hours, they got a confirmation saying, hey, your apartment's gonna be ready on the 28th of April.
What do you think of the market right now, talking about the C-19 and kind of pre-post situation? Are you seeing that this is a good time for someone to get into the multi-unit space? Like, what are your thoughts essentially in terms of how the market is right now and maybe post-COVID?
So I think this market is doing a lot of things for a lot of people. I think it's testing your liquidity. I think it's testing your solvency, and it's testing what you did when times were good. What did you do when the harbor was full and all boats were floating? Were you preparing for this day?
Good point.
You have a virtual presence. You have a brand. You have a way to storytell. If you don't, you're up the creek right now, right? How are you going to do this? I see people right now, they're taking their phone and they're doing this in their apartments, trying to get some sort of digital presence and load it up to their website. You know, it's too late. The boat has left the harbor. And if you're not on that boat, you're done. So I think it's testing what people did when times were good. I don't think it's a great time for a newbie to get in real estate right now. I think there's a lot of moving parts with financing. Right now, a property that's 100% full, that is getting 100% of the collections, chances are they're not going to be getting the same collections 30, 60, 90 days from now, which means that the valuation is going to go down, right? And so if you get in the contract today, you are probably going to be buying a property that's worth less. Just like when you buy your new car and you drive off the lot and you realize, oh, depreciation, I just lost like 50% of the value. That typically doesn't happen in apartment complexes, but it's happening right now. And so unless you're aware of that's going to happen, unless that's part of the value plan that you're offering to your investors, like it's okay. We want people to leave. We want to get them out of their units. We want to do an eviction. We want to get those units ready. Unless it's part of the value add plan that you have, then you shouldn't buy an apartment right now. You shouldn't buy anything. You should, because nothing is stable right now. You know, your success is when you take all of the variables out of your equation and you know what all the constants are. Once you have variables, you have the unknown. You have the unknown. And when you introduce the unknown is going to happen. Expect the unexpected, right?
Say for someone in their 20s, 30s, they have, let's say, 50 to 100K saved up. How would you recommend, and it might be waiting or whatever, but like, what would your approach be in terms of a newbie getting into real estate? What should they do first? Is it a single unit? Is it a condo? What should they get involved with or maybe learn about?
So I think what I would say to them is, first, congratulations. That's a lot of money in your 20s and the early 30s. So kudos to you for making the decisions to get to this point. You are today here based on decisions you made 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago. You will be in the position you want to be 5 years from now based on the decisions you make today. And the number one decision you should make is realize cash is king and it always will be. You should have value in your hand. And until you let that value go, it's in your hand. Then you want to, okay, so what do you want to invest in? An apartment complex, a rent house? Great. But invest in yourself first. Invest in education. Don't just jump out there and think, hey, I want to buy an apartment complex or I want to buy a rent house and think you're going to do it. You're going to make mistakes. When I walked through the door of that real estate club, I had a buddy, a really good friend of mine, and we had talked about buying a house together. And we walked in there and he's like, I don't want to pay the $10,000 that it's going to take to join this real estate club and get the mentorship and the education and access to the videos and the network. I think I could do it by myself. You want to do it with me? No, I'm going to join the club and I'm going to listen to the mentors. And I'm going to follow what they say. And when I'm ready to invest, I'll do that. But I'm going to educate myself first. Well, today I'm the 2-time National Owner of the Year. My net worth is up 40 times. And my buddy, that didn't happen for him. He bought a rent house. He struggled at it. And when he finally sold it a year later, he didn't make anywhere close to the profit. I think he maybe just broke even. And so had he had that education that he needed, he may not have made those mistakes that he did, because he made a lot of mistakes, as I look back on it now, that he wouldn't have made had he joined the club and learned the lessons from other people that had come before him.
When you raise a portfolio, and correct me if I'm wrong, but it's somewhere near 400 mil as of today, how do you go and basically sell the story, right? Because you're storytelling and you're trying to differentiate, and obviously you've been successful in the game. But how do you get people to trust you with your money, especially in real estate? Like that has to be something where there's trust involved, reputation is there, and you're fucking executing, man. So how do you get those three things?
I think number one, your track record speaks for yourself. You know, I've yet to spend $1 raising capital. I've raised $100 million since 2011. I've been in real estate since 2007. I ran 2,000 units for somebody else, right, before I ever took an investment dollar from anybody. And once I did, I have stories to tell. I have stories about the guy I just told you about that put $100,000 in 2010 and now it's worth $1.7 million. And he wasn't the only story. There's other people that were in that initial deal that have continued to compound their returns. They literally gave us the money. And then 2-3 years later, through distributions and through a giant refinance event, which came out tax-free, he got all his money back and said, oh, no, you keep it, put into that next deal you're doing. And that happened 3 times. Multiple, and those initial 3 deals were the seeds, and he harvests them each year and put them in new deals. So I think that you need to have a track record first, and you don't follow the money. This became a passion for me. I bought my first deal in December of 07 with my business partner at the time. And 4 months later, I realized this is what I want to do. This is my calling. I left the safety net of a $150,000 job that I was making through my commissions. And I said, you know what? I'm going to leave that behind and I'm going to pursue this opportunity right now, which was only making $36,000 a year. That's what I was paying myself as a salary. And I sat in that chair every day and I learned. I learned the rules of apartment investing. I learned the rules of property management. Then there's a book out there called The ABCs of Property Management. I learned the ABCs of property management. I got lied to. People stole from me, but I learned the lessons. I also learned how to sell. I taught my staff how to sell. I taught them how to ask the right questions, and I learned about quality control. And I did that for 3 years so that when I was ready to take my first investment dollar, I was prepared. I wasn't just some like guys, hey, I'm going to buy an apartment complex. You want to invest in it with me? It was never that hard for me.
It was very well thought out. You had the plan. It was
you know what? I wish I could tell you I had some master plan. It's just what felt right to me. Got it. Know, I needed to learn how to do this myself. You know, I technically, the other guy that was my partner was technically the lead partner, and I was technically giving him my initial money. But that $200,000 I gave to him to buy in that first deal in December of 07 was all the money I had in the world. That was my net worth. And I'm like, huh, I just can't give that to somebody. I got to protect it. I've got to guard it with my life. And so, you know what? I'm going to walk away from my $150,000 job, and I'm going to work this, and I'm going to make sure I understand how the $200,000 got invested and understand the ABCs of property management. I had no idea that when I made that decision in 07, that here we are 13 years later, and I would have experienced a 5,000 apartment units, and I'd have, you know, almost 4,000 to my name right now. You know, it's a dream. I never would have imagined it. And it's what somebody once told me, said, what gets in the way of a great life? A good life, right? And when I realized that I wanted something better, I put that good life on hold and I went after the great life.
Is that part of like 10Xing, not just kind of the micro metrics, but kind of on the macro? Is that part of that mindset?
In terms of not limiting yourself? I have a passion. Like, yeah. I had a passion for it. I realized I wanted to do it. And I didn't just get to 21 apartment complexes and 3,800 units overnight. That took me from 2011 to 2020. But in 2011, I bought one apartment deal with 118 units. I'm sorry, in 2010. In 2011, 118 units. In 2012, it was 108 units. In 2013, it was 162 units. It was a systematic buying one at a time. Work it for a year, learn the lessons. And when you're ready, you can buy two deals in that 12-month period. Or you can buy three deals in that 12. One year, I bought four deals, but they were smaller deals in a 12-month period. And you learn and you add and you add and you start developing new sources of income. And next thing you realize, wow, I've got 2,000 units. Holy crap, I've got 1,300 units now. You know, and you realize, hey, you can't do it by yourself. You've got to invest. I have not taken a pay increase in the last 2.5 to 3 years. I put all that money back into my company, back into hiring seasoned professionals, back into hiring people who are strong at something that I was weak at. And that's how we've had our success.
Yeah, it's kind of like what David Siegel told me, the founder of DavidC. He was basically like, it took 10 years to be an overnight success. So it's very true. And when you think of growing your team, especially with all the, you know, with the units in your portfolio that you have to manage, how do you stay on top of all of those things? Minus the personal family, keeping yourself, you know, whether it's in shape or doing the things you like, how do you manage your time right now?
You know, it's pretty easy. I've got some great professionals that work with me now, and I balance the time. I basically let them run and I oversee now, but I'm on the phone with them all day long. I'm asking the right questions. I never forget that even though I'm not sitting in that chair anymore and I'm not making like, you know, I'm not having the interaction
the day-to-day
like I used to, I'm still, but I'm playing chess now. And all I've done is now move to a chessboard. From a checkerboard was a one-on-one. Now I have a chessboard where there's multiple pieces that do different things for you, right? And like, hey, I need this to do this. I need this to do this one. I need this piece to do that. You know what? That piece isn't what it used to be. I need to trade out that piece for a new piece or reassign that piece somewhere else. Someone has to have the strategy and the vision of where you're wanting to go. You know, three, 4 years ago, it was my choice to go see Gary V. It was my choice to go see Grant Cardone 2 years ago and take that knowledge and, you know, pay for that knowledge. Just so you know, I paid for that. I paid for those sit downs. They were not free. You know, I got to sit there and absorb information. So that's my job today, is understanding what's coming in the future and see if I can guide my company through that. Right now, we're doing really well. Even though we got the C-19 crisis, we're doing very well navigating through it. And I hope, you know, when it comes to May, we're in the same path.
Interesting. Well, I got one more for you, man, in terms of, because you keep saying like now it's, and I love the chess checkerboard analogy. And in terms of strategy, the first is, where do you think this is going to go? Essentially, I know it's, I think as you said, 10,000 units on the YouTube cover, but kind of break us. What's that next step? Essentially, what does that look like in the next 5 to 10, or in terms of that continuous motivation for you? And then just on the second piece to end this off is, what advice would you give to someone right now sitting in that seat that you sat maybe 20 years ago in terms of doing something differently?
I think first, it's not like a race to 10,000 units. It's a journey to 10,000 units. It's how we're going to get there. It's talking about where we start. It's talking about how we manage through C-19. It talks about how we're going to manage through the aftermath and the recovery after C-19. It is just documenting that. That's what fuels me, is being able to see that and watch those lessons with my team and remember how we got through them, how my kids one day are going to see this because it's on YouTube, right? Or they're going to be able to see, oh, wow, that's how Dad would handle it. That's how Dad did this. All the lessons are going to be there, right? And so that for me is the number one thing. Number two thing, you have to have a goal. And my goal isn't 10,000 units. My goal is to be synonymous with independent independent ownership of apartment complexes. I want to be the largest independent owner in the country if I can. But it's not a race. It's a journey. How did he get there? Like, the story you were saying before, it's not an overnight success. But people start seeing you and they think you're an overnight success, right? But you're going to show through YouTube or through whatever that you've been doing this for a long time. So I just want to be synonymous. I want to be as big as I can. And I don't want to live in regret. And I think that's a Garyism, is that I don't want to be 80 years old thinking, crap, why didn't I do this? Why didn't I push through that? Why did I give up on that? Why didn't I take that risk? And that for me is the number one thing, is I want to make sure that I've lived a life that I'm proud of, that I help people around me, that I've made sure that my team around me has grown with me and they're winning in the process along with me. That is gratifying to me. I think Gary likes to say that he wants to have the biggest funeral ever. I think it's a wonderful goal to have.
Who's going
to
show up at your funeral? Yeah.
Because if people show up to your funeral, and it's hard, right? People have things going on. They have their own life. You've now died. You can no longer help them. But when you see who showed up to your funeral, you're like, wow.
It's who you helped, you right?
Touched. Look how many people that you helped make a change for them and their families. I mean, my dad passed away 3 years ago, and I 3.5 years ago. And I remember going to the funeral and seeing how all these people showed up. And they're all telling a story. And that was respect for my father. That was respect for the life and the interaction, the friendship that they had with him and how he had helped them in their life. So for me, that's what it is. I want to make sure that I live a life that was full of purpose and full of meaning, and that it helped and touched many other people. I've had a generational shift, generational wealth shift in my life as a result of real estate. And if I can bring that to my team as well, and the people that encounter me in my life, I'm going to feel really, really blessed at the end of that and realize that I had a life of meaning. What would I tell myself 20 years ago? You go faster. Go a little faster. Have a little trust in yourself. Believe in yourself a little
Turn
bit
Turn it
more.
Up a notch.
Turn it up a notch. I probably could have bought more deals earlier. I should have been solo from the beginning instead of thinking I needed a partner. I probably should have trusted my instinct and realized, hey, you have a good head on your shoulders. People want to be with you. It's not that you want to be with them. You're just showing weakness and you're showing a fear of being alone, right? But that you're really the guy that people want to partner with, and it's for a reason, you know? And so I think you just need to have faith and confidence in yourself and realize that you all have a plan. Everybody has a purpose. Everybody has a plan. Follow what's best for you, right? You have a strength, whatever that strength is, double down and don't worry about the weaknesses. Push the weaknesses to the side because that's fear. Don't listen to toxic relationships. Don't listen to hate because it's going to happen. People are going to doubt you and they're going to become your fans later once you've achieved the mountain, which is what's occurring right now. You know, is that people, I remember my dad, he's like, wait a minute, sure. I sent you to be an engineer to be a salesman. That's what you're doing? And my dad was thinking like Britannica books, door to door, or selling vacuum cleaners. I don't know what he was thinking, but to actually wind up, you know, and then when I left that to go do real estate, I actually showed some success making $150 a year, which is not a bad living here in Houston, Texas. You know, to go do real estate, oh my God, that's risky, that's crazy. I mean, if I listened to my dad, I would have led his life. And I love my father to death. I love my mother, right? But they lived the life that they were taught to lead.
Exactly.
If you want something better, you want something different, you've got to go out and trust yourself and lead the light of others who are where you want to be. And that's what I'm doing. I'm making my own choices based on where I want to go, not what someone else thinks I need to be.
I love that, man. And especially because not everybody can see it from your vantage point. And it's not your responsibility to convince everyone to see it from that lens. So that's spot on. Well, thanks a lot, man. I appreciate you being on the show, and hopefully when you get to 10,000 throughout the journey, I'd love to have you back and we talk about that. We toast with some champagne.
I really appreciate that. So for anybody out there, if you enjoy this podcast, if you like what you're seeing and you maybe want to invest with us, hey, go to rockstarcapital.com and check out our portal for investors. If you just want to get more free content or just see more videos, find me on Instagram at Apartment Rockstar or LinkedIn. We do 2 full LinkedIn articles a week. It's going to be under Robert Martinez or Apartment Rockstar. Or if you just want to be my friend, find me on Facebook at Robert Martinez.
There you go. Love it, man. Thanks a lot, Rob. Appreciate
Take
you,
care.
Buddy.
Thank you for listening to the Apartment Rockstar podcast. If you want to learn more about Robert Martinez, feel free to go to www.theapartmentrockstar.com. Follow him on Instagram at Apartment Rockstar. Connect through LinkedIn at Robert Martinez. If you're interested in apartment investing through Rockstar Capital, go to investors.rockstarcapital.com. This has been a production of Rockstar Capital.